Chris, welcome to SBS Radio's Armenian program.
Thank you very much for allowing me on today.
Chris, what are your responsibilities at Australian Bureau of Statistics?
Okay, so I'm the general manager for our Census and Statistical Network division. So basically, I'm responsible for the collection of the 2016 census and all our household and business surveys.
Chris, why ABS conducts censuses and what's the importance?
Okay, the census in Australia is conducted every 5 years and in fact goes back to Federation. So our first national census was in 1911. Censuses historically have been an important way for government and decision makers to understand the composition and the change in the population at a very fine level. So we continue to do surveys from time to time, but they only get to parts of the population, whereas the census gives us a picture of the whole country. We're able to ask questions like family composition and ancestry at very detailed levels. So we know in fine detail where groups of populations live and the changes in those groups of populations.
And how accurate is the information collected?
So in the last census we conducted in 2011, over 98% of the population completed the census. We know this because we conduct what we call a post-enumeration survey, a quality check, if you like, on the census and its accuracy. And Australia's got a fantastic record, really, in completing the census. And we get very strong support from all communities about the census, because the census is often the only bit of information about those communities.
Chris, why is it compulsory to fill the forms, and is it compulsory to answer every question?
It is compulsory to do the census. That's the part of the Census Act, which has been around since 1905. It's a bit like voting in Australia is compulsory as well, although the census covers everybody. So it's important, it's of national significance that we get a good census count. All the questions on the census form are compulsory except for religion.
So, Chris, why the no religion will be on top of the list this time around, and many Christians are alarmed about the change?
Okay. Basically, when we order things in choices in the census, we do it on numbers. So in the last census, no religion was the second most selected, and it was at the end of the list. In this census, it sort of doesn't make sense to go Catholic, no religion, and then other religions. So we've made a clear change, and this is what's happened in other countries as well, so that no religion is first, and then a choice of religions comes after that. We have tested this and we don't believe there will be a significant change.
Are there any penalties for people refusing to participate?
We obviously try and gain the cooperation of people. We work as closely as we can. We make as many options as available. We have interpreter services. We have drop-in centres. We bend over backwards to try and make sure that people can cooperate with us in the census. If, and unfortunate, in a small number of cases, people don't, you know, openly refuse to do their census, we refer the matter to the deputy, you know, the Director of Public Prosecutions, and then they can choose to go through a process, and ultimately fines can be given by the courts of up to $180 per day that people do not comply.
Is there any reason why censuses are held every 5 years?
That's a good question, because in a number of other countries, censuses are held every 10 years. But with Australia has a very strong level of mobility, so people move from area to area in Australia far more than happens in countries overseas. And we've actually also got a very strong migration program. So you won't get a picture in 10 years, there'll be probably too much movement. And we have found in 5 years, that it's a more sensible way to do it. Now, we keep on evaluating this because it's an expensive exercise to do a census. So we will keep considering the frequency of the census. But to date, government has requested or continued to do it that way. And it's legislated. Our Act is legislated so that we have to hold it every 5 years now.
Are there any major changes from the previous 2011 census?
No, there's no changes at all, actually. All the questions are the same. The most significant change is that we are trying to go digital with the census. So for many of your listeners, the approach will be a letter rather than a form. And in that letter, we will give you instructions and a code. So, you know, hopefully people can fill the census in online, on the internet. And last time we did use that option, and about 30% of the population did it that way. And we're hoping that nearly 65% of the population will do it that way this time. And it's a convenient way to do it. And we find that the quality of the result has been better doing it that way. And in the savings of visits and things like that, we will save something like $100 million in a digital-first approach.
And, Chris, when the online forms will be available and when it is, you know, the closing date?
Okay, so we are starting to dispatch forms from this week. Forms and letters will start arriving from the middle of this week and well into next week. And then census is Tuesday week. We hope to have everything delivered by the end of next week, so before census night. People have a little time after census day to complete their form. The systems will be open immediately, so if people feel the need to do their form immediately, they can do that or they can save it. And the systems will be open for 2 or 3 weeks after that time. And then we will start what we call our process of visiting post-census. So if we haven't received an internet form or a paper form, we will start visiting those households a couple of weeks after census. I should have also mentioned, particularly for your listeners, a couple of things. If you prefer a paper form, there is a phone number to ring on the letter. You ring the phone number, you type the code in on your keypad on your phone, and a paper form will be dispatched to your house with a reply paid envelope. I should also mention that there's an interpreter service number that will also come on that letter. So if you need interpreter services, you can use that number and connect through there.
Yes, because in recent times, Armenians came as refugees from Syria or Iraq and might need translators.
That's right. And it should be noted, too, on the census, we ask a number of questions about where people come from. So we actually ask your birthplace. We ask about the birthplace of your parents. We obviously ask about religion because that has some impact. But we also ask, what is your ancestry? So that is something that you answer personally in terms of how you recognise your background. And we understand for many immigrants and refugees that where they were born, particularly their children in many cases, doesn't actually reflect their ancestry. So we specifically ask questions about ancestry.
Yes. For example, I was born in Lebanon. So how should I fill my form so I'm counted as Armenian?
Well, as I said, there's a question specifically about ancestry, and that's your personal choice. So what you deem your ancestry to be, and I assume it's Armenian, is what you would answer that question in. In some cases, you know, people have parents of different nationalities or different ancestry. And, you know, it's not an easy choice. You can put down, you know, an Armenian Italian, or in my case, I'm from Malta. You know, Maltese from Egypt is very common. So we're looking for you to make your choice in that question. And obviously we'll go through coding practices that will produce statistics then on an ancestry basis rather than just on a birthplace basis.
So the important question is about the ancestry question or just the language spoken at home?
Look, I think they're all important. So, you know, because we work with all of the community groups, and it's important, the language question is very important from a services perspective and also an education perspective. So all of the questions are important, but in terms of identifying a particular grouping, ancestry is very vital, as you know, the examples that we've been through illustrate.
Chris, taking again my family as an example, at home I speak Western Armenian, while my wife was born in Armenia and speaks Eastern Armenian. Is ABS satisfied with just the word Armenian, or is preferable to include more details about the two spoken forms of modern Armenian?
Look, I would need to do some work on our... we've got a classification of languages, and I'm not too sure if it makes that dissection. But to be sure, I would put down exactly what you speak. In your case, Eastern, and your wife's case, Western. In many countries, there are dialects, you know, so I think it's important that you write down all the detail that you can, and we will classify that to the international standards for classifications.
Chris, what happens in case of a mixed marriage, say an Armenian and a Greek or Italian marry? Both are fluent in their native languages, however they speak English at home with each other. How they should fill the form?
I think you've just answered the question. If they speak English at home, that's the question, and that's what we are looking for in that case. But obviously we would get their ancestry and we would get their birthplace. We would ask the birthplace of their parents as well. So if they speak English at home, I think that's what they should answer.
Chris, how ABS safeguards people's privacies?
Okay, so we've been running censuses in Australia, or the ABS has, for over 110 years now. We have a whole range of different security systems that safeguard the data when it comes into the organisation. And we subject our systems to tests. So Defence Signals Directorate is the highest level of testing that we know of in Australia, and they have been testing our systems. We also go to the Australian National Audit Office and we use their standards. So we've had an unblemished record of protecting people's privacy when it comes to these matters. And people should be assured that the ABS is interested in producing statistics. So the number of people in an area, the number of Armenians in an area. We're not interested in the specifics, and we never ever release specific information about an individual. That's protected in our Act. It's also protected by the Privacy and the Crimes Acts, and our record is, as I say, unblemished in that respect.
Chris, who uses the information collected?
Okay, so the census is used to make, you know, basically all decisions about people and the grants that are associated with funding or services. So at the highest level, the GST is distributed on the basis of population, and the census creates what we call an estimate of resident population. The census is also used for the distribution of parliamentary seats in the country. So we use the census data to redistribute and help the Electoral Commission redistribute seats. Even in local council seats, census is used. As I said, for local grants applications, it's used by all communities in the country in terms of their services and in them applying for grants for their services, and also in the evaluation of how their work is doing. Census is also used by business. So all businesses that have a geographic footprint, like franchises or retailers, They would use the census data to look at market, market size, market growth, and they would be planning on where to place new locations and where to place services. It's obviously used in our hospital system for the where to build new hospitals, where to build new schools, and particularly in the planning of transport. We ask questions about how people get to work, for instance, in the census, and that's used to map out transport corridors and investment in all those areas. So it's hundreds of billions of dollars in the government and the private sector. The decisions are based on census information.
When results will be available?
Okay, so results are released in three lots next year. So in April next year, the national and the state results of the census will come out. That's 2 months earlier than in the previous census. And then in June, information at more detailed geographic levels, like at suburbs and postcodes, will also be available. And then in October, more detailed information like industry, people, where people work, their occupations, things like that will be released. So all the information will be released by October next year, the first release in April and the second release in June.
Chris, thank you for your time and the valuable information you gave.
Thank you, Vahe, and I'm very happy to come back and talk to you at any time.